Little update to that story, and some of you already know this. He didn't raise $6,200 or $7,200. As of this week, he was at $1.14 million, minus a case of Busch Light, which I'm not sure how much that is, was going to the Children's Hospital. Now, you might wonder why I'm talking about that. Some of you know because you've been following the story. But I thought when we've been talking about taming the tongue, about this idea that, scripture tells us, and maybe it's just a scripture thing. Maybe it's not even true that our tongues are very powerful. And as we've read time and time again, like, our tongues are so powerful and they can actually burn down our lives. Well, a little addition to that story, I've got another clip for you. Because this wouldn't be 2019 if... Can you play this next clip? A little update.
No good deed goes unpunished. Carson King certainly does. You may remember him, the Iowa State fan who's raised more than $1 million for a children's hospital in Iowa City off of a sign asking for beer money that all came during the Iowa State football game. But Anheuser-Busch is now saying that King is on his own after some offensive social media posts surfaced from 8 years ago when he was just 16. King has apologized, but Anheuser-Busch no longer has an association with him. They said that the posts don't align with their values as a brand or as a company, and that they, quote, have no further association with him.
Oh, isn't that a perfect like update? Oh, sorry.
Here we go. Kid, and I want to sincerely apologize. I don't want, you know, what I did when I was 16 to take away from the fact that, you know, we're over $1.14 million to the Children's Hospital. I'm worried about it. I really hope people focus on the positivity that all this has brought. Obviously, you know, I've made mistakes in my past. You know, everyone has.
So let's update a little bit here. So Carson King is a 25-year-old college graduate from Iowa who works as a security guard, who has a mom who has some sense, and she wasn't super excited that he was going to hold up a sign begging for beer money on national TV. But when he did, and it's interesting just to tell you sort of the behind the story, like, never trust the news, because the story isn't exactly as they said. As I took a little deeper dive in this week, he really didn't just get $1.14 million and decide to give it away. He got hundreds of dollars, which is true. And then he talked to his mom and dad, who had a little sense, and said, you know, you shouldn't keep that money. You should donate it. And so he got out on his social media stuff and said, anything above the case of beer, I'm going to donate to the Children's Hospital, which sort of snowballed with some really large corporate donation as well. Not to take away anything from the fact that he did raise over $1 million, that it's going to go to the Children's Hospital. And it seems like such a great Children's Hospital, and the fact it's right there on campus, and the kids watch the games out of an observation deck, and so it's tied in with football. So it's just a beautiful story until, because it's 2019, a reporter finds that when he was 16 years old, he basically retweeted some Tosh.0 jokes, which were hugely inappropriate and racially insensitive, and so we have to, I guess the word now is cancel Carson. Now, because it's 2019. Now, it's amazing how fast things happen, because all of this has happened in the last 2 weeks while we were doing this series called Taming the Tongue. And you notice he already had a beer can with his face on it that said, Iowa legend. And I'm like, I don't know how many legends are in Iowa, but that happened pretty quickly, I'll say that. But I mean, think about, like, how quickly, like, here's this story, guy gets on TV, he gets a few hundred dollars in his Venmo account, that's crazy, you know, leverages that in a very nice way to help a bunch of kids with cancer. Then, it turns out when he's 16-year-old boy, he tweets something racially insensitive, and now he's canceled and he's a bad guy. And now, that's not the end of the story, because it's 2019. This week, the reporter who printed the story about Carson's bad tweets when he was 16 years old, now he has been revealed to have racially insensitive tweets in his background, and he's been fired. And I quote, I swear to you, I'm not making this up. I just didn't have time to put it in this morning, because it literally, I read it this morning. Do you know what he said in his interview about getting fired and run? He literally had to move because people were like threatening him. He said, I can't believe how this thing has burned my life down. I was like, he's just trolling me. Like, he's using the words out of James because that's what we've been talking about all month long, right? Like, all month long, we've been talking about this thing that James, the brother of Jesus, said, and I'll just read it to you. It says, among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body, and it can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Now, I say this every week, but I have to point out, like, this was written by probably like a self-employed carpenter guy because he was Jesus' brother. His dad was a carpenter. We don't know exactly what James did for a living, but he never was educated. He wasn't a professional. He certainly wasn't a clinical psychologist, but for some reason, James understood like what would happen and what would happen for thousands of years, because what James said is exactly what's happening in our world now, isn't it? Like, and I don't want this to be like, this is not me going, I told you so. It's not, because I didn't tell you so. Like, this is not me. Can I tell you how this sermon series has impacted me? Here's the only thing it's done. Number one, it made me miserable because I realized how many bad things I say. But all I say now is, I shouldn't have said that, after I say something bad. Like, seriously, I realize, like, I'm not getting any better. I'm just saying bad stuff and realizing that I said, maybe that's progress. I don't know. But so this is not I told you so. Yeah, I told you. No. I just want to point out, like, how right the Bible is. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, you can read, like, a clinical psychology book from the turn of the century. Well, it could be 2000, but especially go back another 100 years to the 1900s, and you just go, this is ridiculous. None of this stuff is true. They didn't understand at all how the brain worked. And yet James and Paul and Jesus seem to understand exactly how this whole thing works. Here's another one we said a couple weeks ago. How about this one? Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. That's what Paul said. And think about in this story that we just heard about, and most of you have already heard about that. It wasn't a shock to any of you. I didn't make that up. Like, using bad words, and I'm not talking about just saying bad words, but saying bad things, whether we use our thumbs or our tongues, whew, that can cause us serious damage, man. I mean, think about it, like, I've been a 16-year-old boy. 16-year-old boys should be locked in cages. That is truly what should happen to them. But yet, this guy was able to tweet something as a 16-year-old boy. And yes, that's my controversial take on 16-year-old boys. They should be locked in cages. But here's the thing. You can cancel me later. It's true. But literally, like, he says something when he's 16. He quotes Tosh.0, and now later on, we have to take a, I don't know what, like, give the kids cancer again? Like, what is going on? But this is true, isn't it? I once again, don't want to be an I told you so, but I do have to be kind of like, ooh. The Bible's pretty smart, isn't it? Here's another one. Just think about this one. This is one we did 2 weeks ago that Jesus said, do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treated others. And the standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? And Jesus is being humorous, but he's like, why are you worried about all the little things your friends and neighbors think and believe? And you've got this giant log of problems in your life. And so we came to go, hey, you know, other than prison guards and parents and, I don't know, school teachers, shop teachers, you know, like, you're not responsible for the behavior and beliefs of others. So you do you first. But how true is that? I'll tell you what, who thinks that's true this morning is the reporter who thought he had a great story, like, hey, look what this guy wrote when he was 16. And now he's like in hiding at his friend's house and he lost his job because it turns out, guess what? Somebody, and how he didn't think this was going to happen, I don't know, but we're all like this. We all think like, oh, I can point that out in their life, but nobody's going to notice what I'm doing. Oh, no. because this is correct. Jesus had it nailed, didn't he? He's like, hey, if you point this out about Carson, I keep wanting to say Carson Daly. So if I say that, it's not Carson Daly who did this. No racist tweets in Carson Daly. I'm not spreading rumors. Carson King, you know, if you do that, well, guess what happens? It comes back on you. And let me throw in a bonus. We haven't talked about this, but I always think about this when I think about this world we live in. Because we do live in a weird world, right? Like, I said so many bad things when I was 16. I said bad things when I was 46. But thankfully, like, there's just no record of them. You know, like, I'm just thankful those things are not out there. Because, but now our kids and our, you know, colleagues and our family, our grandma is writing things right now that are going to be out there forever. And so here's what Jesus said, and once again, pretty smart. He says, whatever you have said in the dark, and he's making this as a prediction. And honestly, gang, I don't think this has ever been true before, but it's true now. I hear the clippity-cloppity of the horse's feet when I read this. It says, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the rooftops from all to hear. Isn't that true? Like, you go, I got like seven how many followers do you think Carson had when he tweeted out that when he was a 16-year-old, like sophomore? Like, he probably had 89 followers. And he's like, nobody's going to see this. This is hilarious. This is going to kill. And then, you know, years later, he actually does something that we applaud. And now he's appalled. So I say all that to say this. There's a lot of things we've talked about this past few weeks that I just think seem right. Like, I know it's like ancient and it's thousands of years ago, but it feels like to me, and I believe it is because Jesus was God's son, but he seemed to understand pretty much how humans work. And I think, like, it's pretty remarkable the fact that the things Jesus said, who was, you know, uneducated carpenter son, still work in 2019, and I'm pretty sure they only had, like, they didn't have Twitter back then. When he was saying those words, they probably had MySpace. I don't know. They didn't have much, but it's just amazing just to think how wide. But I say all that to say this. Like, if you will agree with me, it's at least uncanny how right those things seem. I've got one more thing I need to tell you in this final week. And you're all fed and you're happy, and so I hope you will take this as well as you can, because it's not pretty. Because here's what Jesus said. Nope, sorry, I went too far. Can you pop that back? Here's what Jesus said. He said, and I tell you this. This is Jesus speaking. The guy who was right about all these other things. You must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak, and the word you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Ooh, that is not good, right? Like, we're hoping Jesus was having a bad day when he said that. Like, all the other stuff seems pretty true, but I'm not digging that, right? Like, so there's going to be a judgment day, and it doesn't just say, like, the things that you forgot to erase from your Twitter timeline. He's like, every stinking idle word you will have to give an account for. Oh, that's going to take a while. But, like, that's not good, right? Like, that's sort of like the ultimate cancel. Like, there's parties in the 90s that I don't want to go back through some of the stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, you give me 30 minutes and I got some splaining to do, like, of something I said within 30 minutes, and like, whoa, that's bad. Because guess what, gang? There's something. You might be wiser than Carson, and you might have not put anything out on social media that you could be canceled for. But don't feel too good about that, because we've all said things, right? We've all, and most of us have probably done something on social media that's highly problematic in 2019. But, like, we've all said things, right? I know I have. I don't even have social media, and I have done things. I was realizing this morning, I think they could cancel Action Church, because when we were first starting the church, and I'm laughing still because I'm an idiot, but we were at Disney. And there was a large lady in front of me in line with corduroy pants on. And my wife's like, don't take a picture, please, God. And I did. And then I put it on my blog, you know, on the church blog. I was like, you know, and I tried to make it like, our next service is going to be hotter than a lady in corduroy pants and all. You know, I was like, ugh. And so I took it down soon after. But somewhere out there, it's floating around like we might have to cancel action. But here's the thing. Whoa. Like, we have lost. I mean, we have all done that. I was almost strangled by my mic cord here. But we've all got things like that out there, don't we? I've almost killed myself with my mic cord. That's amazing. All right, there we go. It's a super weird shape now since the thing fell off. I'm just going to grab a mic. Anyway, see, I was talking with my hand. I was so embarrassed. But here's the thing, like, that's scary when you read the words of Jesus. So I want to read something. I want to read sort of like the beforehand of this. I want to read like what happened leading up to this. And you may not like what Jesus said, but I will tell you, you just might like Jesus. Because it's pretty amazing when you kind of go behind the scenes in the story. So let's do that. All we're going to do, and we do this all the time at Action Church. You know, you read these verses or you hear these verses and you go, oh, I think I know what that means. And all you should do, honestly, like, you don't have to be a professional, because I'm certainly not. I'm a guy who paints houses for a living and apartments for a living. Like, all I do is I take, okay, here's what the scripture says, and then I just read around it and find out what it was saying. So let's just do that. How about that? It says this. It says, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. And he healed the man so he could both speak and see. And the crowds were amazed and said, could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan. The prince, you can only say that if you say it like Satan. But he gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. So here's what's going on here. Like, if you're just jumping into this, you know what this is? This is politics, right? Because here's the story of the Pharisees and Jesus, and we never talk politics here, except we are this morning. Don't worry, not impeachment. We're going to talk like first century Judean politics. But here's the thing. They haven't changed. Because what happened is you have the Pharisees, they're powerful, they're the people who run the media, they are the people who are in charge, and they tell people what to do, and they tell people what sin is, and here's the truth. They're right about a lot of stuff. Like, they know scripture, they know what God said, and they are sort of just standing up for doing what God said. But guess what? They're getting rich and powerful in the process because they control the process. So they're going, hey, you should make a sacrifice for your sins. You should bring a lamb or a goat to the temple, you know, and do what the Bible says and make a sacrifice to show that you're sorry for your sins. And by the way, you should buy it here at the temple mart because that's where the good lambs are that God likes. And oh, by the way, you can't use your money here. You have to buy shroot bucks or whatever we sell, temple money. And guess what? There's a little upcharge. And so they have this whole system worked out where they're doing sort of God's sort of work, but they've just sort of leveraged it to make themselves powerful and make themselves rich and make themselves useful to the Romans. And they were in charge. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along. And they were not happy that he's healing people and forgiving sins. You know what I was thinking? Like, I never realized why they were so mad that he forgave sins. He would always be like, he would heal someone and he'd go, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. And they're like, you can't do that. And they were more upset that he forgave sins than they were that they healed people, because if you think about it, like, they were in the sin forgiveness business at the temple. And so you can imagine Jesus, sort of this upstart, this, you know, non-professional carpenter's assistant who comes along and starts preaching these amazing sermons and has these huge followings. The politically powerful are not happy. They're never happy when that happens. And so if you notice what happens here, It's just like today in the sense that Jesus heals a man who was blind and they're not happy because Jesus did it, right? Like, we can imagine that, right? Like, there's some people in here that would be really, really not happy if Trump healed a blind man, right? You'd be like, I don't know what that's all about. But all you people, what about the other side? The people who are like, AOC just healed a blind man. You'd be mad. You would be concerned. You'd be like, I don't think she really meant it. I think this is a trick. And that's all they were doing. It was politics. It's the same politics we have today where you get so mad at the other team and you're so sure you're right that all of a sudden, even when they do something good, you can't admit it. And that's exactly what they did here, right? This is political. This is pure politics. I know it's like 2,000 years ago, but people are people. And so they're mad at Jesus because he healed someone. He makes them look bad. And so they say, he's healing people, but he's casting out demons in the name of Satan. Now, if you don't know this story and you don't know Jesus, you think that Jesus probably, like, I don't know, made him a friendship bracelet and sang Kumbaya. But that is not what happens next. I just want to read this. And some of you are going to be a little worried about Jesus. And some of you, like me, are going to really, really like Jesus after this because it is awesome. I'm just saying. So here's what Jesus says. It says, Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is dividing and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. So what Jesus is saying, he's dropping a little logic bomb on them. He's going, so I'm casting out Satan with Satan? I mean, how does that work? Like, you know, like, so I'm going to fight the North Koreans and I'm going to call Kim Jong-un and go, hey, I need some help fighting the North. That doesn't make any sense. And then he didn't stop there. He said, and if I am empowered by Satan, what about your exorcists? They cast out demons too, so they will condemn you. So he's like, you guys say that you cast out demons. Are you using Satan? I mean, this doesn't make any sense, guys. And then he says, but if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? He's like, who gets to go into a mobster's house and burgle him? Has to be somebody pretty tough, right? So if I'm casting out demons, I have to be stronger than Satan. He said, only someone even stronger. Then he could tie him up and plunder his house. And so, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Jesus is using logical arguments, right? That's what he's doing. And this is kind of shocking to some of you. It's shocking if you haven't thought of it. Like, Jesus is in a political situation, and he's not just making friendship bracelets. He's going, wait a minute, guys. You're saying I'm casting out demons in the name of Satan, but you have exorcists too? Who do they work for? And how can Satan cast out Satan? And wouldn't it take somebody strong? And so he's just arguing logically. And that's sort of probably shocking to some of you, but it goes on. Let me read what he says next. It's crazy. He says, anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. I think he was quoting George W. Bush there. I've just said, no, that was not it. I think maybe George got that from him. It says, so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. And anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or the world to come. A tree is identified by its fruit. And if a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is right and good? Wow. Not too friendly. Offensive words. Yeah, he's offending them. He's triggering all of them. He's shaming them. Name calling even. And I want you to notice something. There's something in there that talks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, speaking against the Holy Spirit, that's an unforgivable sin. And over the years, I don't know about you, but if you've ever thought of that, you're like, what is that? That sounds bad. And it does. I don't know exactly what that is. I don't know exactly how that works. I just think it means that we should definitely be very, very cautious how we talk about what God is doing, because we don't want to, you know, inadvertently, because we're humans, go, oh, if that guy's doing it, that can't be good. You know, we got to be very careful and we have to use judgment. But I want to point you to something that he said. And actually, can we go back to that verse? Let's go back to the verse before. He said, you can speak against me, but you shouldn't. It's not forgivable if you speak against God's Spirit. So I was thinking about this week, something that I've never thought about hit me. Like, Jesus said, you can be, it's not unforgivable even to say bad things about God in the body of Jesus. So there's no person who's ever lived, including Jesus, that it's unforgivable to say something bad about. Not that we would, not that we should, because, oh boy, that can cause trouble. But we have a lot of unforgivable sins, like Carson committed an unforgivable sin, and we're adding to those all the time. But Jesus said, you can make fun of me. Like, I'm not above that, but don't speak ill of God's Spirit. And so he kind of sums it up. And this brings us right back to where we started. It says, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. So if you've ever said, like I have, ooh, I don't know where that came from. We know where it came from. It came from our heart. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this. This is where he gets back to the thing we started with. After saying all that, like after putting down some pretty strong arguments with the Pharisees, after shaming them and name-calling, and none of which were untrue, but that's what he did, offending all of them. He said, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak, and the words you say will either acquit or condemn you. So now we have a lot more information, but it's still difficult to deal with, isn't it? Because what Jesus is pointing out is something very true. Like, good people say bad stuff sometimes. Maybe a lot of the time, if we knew what they said all the time. And bad people can make what they say sound pretty good. In fact, it can be very good. In fact, a lot of what the Pharisees were saying, like, hey, you should do what God says, and hey, we should be pure, and hey, we should follow the law, all good things. Those were true. The Pharisees were not wrong about the law. They knew what God wanted. But Jesus knew their heart, and he knew they were leveraging that good thing. Like, hey, I'm for the baby seals, and you should do what I say so you won't hurt the baby seals. Or, you know, like, that's what they were doing. They're going, hey, I'm for God, and you should do what I say because I know what God wants, and you should probably pay me to help you do what God wants, and you should come to my temple, and you should buy my approved sheep so God won't be mad at you, and you should probably buy it with shrewd bucks because that's what God wants. You know, so what Jesus said is, guess what? Like, good people saying bad things and bad things, people saying good things, all of you, all of us, will have to give an account on judgment day for every idle word. Like, and you know what I was thinking about? Like, I was like, how can Jesus say that? Jesus just, like, told these people off. Like, he went, those were not idle words. He meant every word of those, and there was a plan. So here's what I've been thinking. Like, our culture lacks judgment. That's really what we're lacking, right? This whole story that I just told you that you saw on the news or read, nobody saw it on the news. It was weird seeing it on the news because no one probably experienced it that way. We all saw it pop up in our timeline on our smartphone or iPad. But this idea that this kid, kind of silly, and maybe we lack judgment in the fact that we'll just send money to a kid who asks for beer. Like, maybe that lacks judgment. But then he did do something nice. At least his parents had sense and go, you should give the money away for children's hospital. So that's good, right? Maybe we lack judgment in the fact nobody really checked if he was going to do it. I mean, we hope he does it. But those things have turned out to be scam. We know that has happened. Like, not often, but maybe we don't show good judgment. We'll just, if it's fun and it's trending, we'll throw big money at stuff like that. And maybe we should have better judgment. I don't know. We should definitely have better judgment about what we write and what we say, because as Carson knows, that'll come back to bite you. And if you're a reporter or you're someone who likes to just point out others' faults, well, have better judgment about that, right? Because do you not think someone's going to check you out? Like, if you're canceling them, don't you think somebody's going to run your timeline and figure out if you've ever said anything offensive? So, and I don't know, maybe we should have a little better judgment about our heroes. Like, I look at Carson and I go, seems like a nice kid, but I don't know that he's a hero. It wasn't even his money. He did solicit money and it went to kids, hopefully, but we're pretty quick to throw around hero. You know, he held up a sign and it turned out really well. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me being an old man sitting on the porch. But I know when I look at all of these things, like, what we're lacking, right, is judgment. Is judgment to say, is it better to give money to a children's hospital or point out that somebody made a racist remark 8 years ago when they were 16? Which is better? And if you know that somebody said something bad a long time ago but nobody else said it, like, should we have judgment about whether we say it or not? What does it help or what does it hurt? But here's the good news. Here's the good news. And it doesn't seem like good news, but I promise you it is. Good news, judgment is coming. Right? Like, if you're ever sitting there going, this is crazy. Like, it seems like all of the wrong things win and all the right things don't win. And even when we try to do the right thing, like, speaking of judgment, is it right that because this unnamed reporter, and notice I'm not using his name, even though we do have his name, but I don't think we should throw him into the mix. Like, he sort of went, I was just doing my job. And you go, well, that was a horrible thing you did, but do you really think he deserves to be fired and in hiding for his life because he thinks people are going to kill him over this? Like, is that a little extreme? Like, we need judgment, and guess what? Judgment is coming. That's what Jesus promised. Like, Jesus promised this. He said, someday, all of you, guess what? Whether you like it or not, you're going to have to, like, explain everything you did. And we're going to sort this whole thing out. And guess what? It's not going to be what public opinion thinks. It's going to be what's right. And so we're going to be able to decide, is it better to, you know, is it better to give money to a children's hospital, or can that be completely canceled out because of something you said, you know, 8 years ago when you were 16? And is there redemption? Could you say something horrible and racist and then go on to do something good? Is that possible? Or should you just be forever, like, unemployable and outcast? You know, maybe we should, like, make a island where we put people who've ever said anything bad. It's called America. Like, think about, like, what we need judgment. And Jesus said, judgment is coming. Now, here's the thing about it I was thinking about. Like, some of you are going to go, yeah, right. That's what preachers say. And that's what I've heard my whole life. And I'm yet to see that. But I want you to think with me just a minute. Because judgment has already come. Think about this. The Pharisees canceled Jesus, right? Like, I'd call crucifixion pretty cancel-y, right? Like, he said things they didn't like. He offended them. I mean, we read it. That's what they said. And he was disrespectful, and he called them names, and he triggered them. And they killed him. Game over, right? They canceled Jesus. But we're still reading Jesus' words in a converted nightclub in 2019 in, like, North York, Pennsylvania, and the Pharisees are a bad punchline. So history has judged the Pharisees and found Jesus to be the winner of history, really. If you think about it, who else do we, you know, what other carpenter's assistants do we still marvel at their words 2,000 years later? None that I know. But don't think, And I think Jesus would say that if he were here. And I wish he was, because he seems cool and I would love him to talk to you. But he would say, don't think that means that it doesn't matter what you say. I want the band to come back up here. Because guess what? I don't think this has ever been more important. Like, every idle word, every idle tweet, every idle post, every idle text, every idle email, every idle, like, ooh, clap back, ooh, I've dunked on them, whatever idiotic terms we want to call it. We have to give account for, and man, we should be careful, because we can become like outcasts and unemployable in this world. But guess what? If you sort of watch a story like we watched this morning and sort of despair and go, oh, there's no answer. I mean, it wasn't right what happened then, and it wasn't right what happened at the end. And, you know, and we'll go on to forget that story in a week and a half. But if there seems to be no hope, there is. Because there is a judge that cares about right and wrong, and cares about the heart, and cares about really doing the right thing, not just virtue signaling, or not just sort of doing the right thing, or not doing the right thing so that you can get power or fame or what, all the things we know happens every day in our world. Somebody's keeping score. And I'm pretty happy that it's Jesus, because I think he'd be pretty good at it when I read the way he conducted himself. So I want to pray with you, because, man, we live in a difficult situation. If you're a Christian this morning, whew, you should be careful what you say and what you tweet and what your thumbs say. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you are so welcome here, and you should be careful, because this is a universal thing. Like, I don't think just because you're not a Christian, or because you don't think Jesus was the Son of God like I do, and you don't think he rose from the dead like I do, I think you should listen to him, because he's pretty smart about things like this. I mean, it's amazing how that guy would have a handle. So I want to pray with us. Dear Jesus, we are so grateful for your love. And we're grateful for your example. And God, we are all guilty, me especially, of saying the wrong things, of saying things that we shouldn't say, and typing things we shouldn't say, and releasing things we shouldn't say. And God, the problem is, even if we stop today, even if we were perfect in our communication from now on, all of us would be condemned for the things we've said. And God, we live in a crazy, messed up, cancel culture, and I don't know where that goes, but I do know that we need judgment. And God, I pray that you would give us the strength and the courage to at least allow that judgment into our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.